You're on RPP 98.7 and 98.3 on the peninsula.
We know a lot more about mental health and illnesses today, thanks to people who work tirelessly in the medical field. Last week, Dame Quentin Bryce launched the Australian Mental Health Prize, established by the University of New South Wales School of Psychiatry. Australian journalist, businesswoman and TV presenter Ita Buttrose, AO and OBE, has been selected as the chair of the Australian Mental Health Prize Advisory Group. Ms. Buttrose joins Deborah in conversation about her role, the stigma attached to mental illness, and acknowledging the outstanding contribution people make in the mental health sector. The latest statistics released on the number of people living with mental illnesses is frightening, Ms. Buttrose reveals.
Well, mental health is quite prevalent. And, you know, yes, we have raised the awareness, and that's fantastic, but we also need action. So we need to plan how we're going to handle the enormity that mental illness presents to us. So if you look at the figures, 1 in 5 adult Australians and 1 in 7 children aged 4 to 17 will in any one year, experience some form of mental illness. And in our lifetimes, 1 in 3 of us will have a mental illness. You start to think, my word, that's quite a lot of us.
It's disturbing children are experiencing mental health issues.
Go back and think about those children. I mean, I was quite shocked when I learnt 1 in 7 children aged 4 to 17 in any one year will experience some form of mental illness. You know, that's a terrible figure, I feel, for children.
It is a concern when our young people want to take their own lives and actually talk about it and do act on it.
Suicide, just seeing you mentioned it. I mean, 2,800 Australians take their own lives each year, and in men under 45, it's a top figure. Depression, it can be, you know, you don't always know the reasons why, but the figures show you that what's going on. And, you know, why are men doing this? Why do men feel such despair that the only way out is to take their own lives? We can do better than this.
In a statement, Ms. Buttrose said, "This prestigious prize will help reduce stigma and raise awareness of mental health and help improve care in Australia." That suggests we aren't doing enough.
65% of people do not access treatment to support themselves with the experience that they're going through. That very much indicates that we're not doing enough, because they're there, but somehow we're not reaching them, or they're not familiar with where they should go. And if we look at regional Australia and other rural areas, it's very hard to get help. I think it's a very important issue, and I think there is a feeling among many of us that perhaps the investment in medical research and care of people with mental illness should be increased. At the moment, the Australian health budget is about $150 billion, and at the moment, 7% of that goes to mental health. So we think that perhaps it should be lifted to 13%. There's $200 billion worth of lost days of well-being attributed to mental health in our country. $200 billion. That's an awful lot of money. The health budget is a hard budget to run. There's always people who think their cause is more important than somebody else, but there are some health conditions that have enormous funds and huge community support. Mental health still hasn't achieved that. And I think it's not unreasonable to suggest that given the caseload and the impact of mental health in Australia, that perhaps the government should have a look at where it is allocating its health budget funds.
So what's Ms. Buttrose doing about it?
We've launched the Australian Mental Health Prize, and I was selected as the chair of the advisory group. So we're hoping that the prize will not only continue to raise awareness, but will also help remove the stigma. Because by talking about the statistics, how many people are affected by mental illness, and let's remember it severely impacts on a person's capacity to work, to earn a living, to maintain a close relationship. I want people who are experiencing mental illness or who have not sought help, because about 65% of people don't seek help, I want them to realise they are not alone. There are many, many Australians who are going through what you're going through, and there is always something that can be done, and that's why it's important to seek help. And we're hoping the prize will refocus people's attention on that, and as well, recognise someone who's doing fantastic work in the mental health field. It might be somebody on the Mornington Peninsula, who's a wonderful therapist, might be a carer.
What is the prize and why is it necessary, Ita?
The prize is a wonderful medal, which we've had specially designed. There's no money attached to this prize. It's the recognition. It's the acknowledgement of the great work that does go on in Australia. And there's some fantastic work going on here. And, you know, to know that something you're doing might be repeated in other places in Australia.
And the criteria to nominate?
It's going to be judged by a panel of they call them eminent Australians, many of whom are working in the mental health field, doctors and scientists and so on. But it's really the impact, it'll be the impact of what they're doing that we'll be looking at.
So they have to submit a CV with 200 words outlining the work that they've undertaken.
Yes, but you can't nominate yourself. So we want people to nominate someone. And it's just 200 words with CV and a CV. And why is it working? What's they're good about it? Why is this person worthy of this award?
A final message from Ms. Buttrose about the help and support that is readily available if you or someone you know is having difficulty.
Remember what I said to you, there's lots of people who experience mental health illness. And you shouldn't be ashamed of it. Nothing to be ashamed of. It's something that can be treated and in many instances successfully treated.
So if you'd like to nominate anyone who works hard in the mental health sector, nomination forms can be obtained from australianmentalhealthprize.org.au. Entries close on the 31st of August 2016 and the winner will be announced on the 28th of November. Up next, we'll hear about the good work being done in Frankston for people living with mental illnesses, and then Liberal member Chris Crowther discusses the work he's doing to help those people. Kindred Clubhouse is a franchise that operates around the world to support people living with a mental illness. Frankston is the next location for a Kindred Clubhouse to be set up. Kim Kerr, who's worked in other clubhouses around the world, is a committee member at the Frankston branch. He's the driving force behind the scenes and opens the discussion about the program.
The Clubhouse program operates internationally. There are 11 in Australia, but none in Victoria. It's a program model where pretty much the program is people come in and help run the place. They're people with a mental illness, actively participate, and from that participation, redevelop skills and confidence, and it's a pathway back to employment or further education. From doing things, people learn skills, redevelop confidence, and find that things that perhaps they thought weren't possible become possible.
Why Frankston?
Frankston because the person that organised our group was working in Frankston. She went back to America for a trip and saw the clubhouse program operating. And when she returned to Australia, thought, I wonder why we're not doing one over here. And saw a need, and because she'd been working in Frankston, called a public meeting just to see if anybody else was interested. What was discussed at that meeting was the tenets of how the clubhouse program worked, and from that we were invited to form a committee, which we did.
Is there something similar in Frankston already set up, though, for people who are dealing with a mental illness?
There are services for people with a mental illness, but mostly the services now are around a worker visiting a person with a mental illness and working one-on-one. And this model works in that it has its power, I think, in that it brings people together. People learn by being involved and being encouraged by other people's achievements, being motivated by what other people are able to do. Sort of the power of the group.
More public figures and sports people are sharing their mental health issues to raise awareness.
More and more, it's become okay to speak about it. More people in the public eye who've had a connection have come out and spoken about it. I think it's always been there. It seems perhaps a little less stigmatised to speak about at the moment.
What can we expect from the Kindred Clubhouse in Frankston?
Kindred at the moment isn't operating. What we've done from that public meeting is form a committee. We developed a business plan. We've now organised ourselves to have charitable status so we can fundraise, which we've been doing. We've run forums. We've been presented it around the traps around Frankston. And now what we think is the time is right to start having this conversation with people who might be interested in being part of a clubhouse. So we're looking to set up and operate just one day a week to start with, provide a meal and have people with a mental illness come in and talk to us about whether they think what we're proposing is going to work.
So people who will come to you with a mental illness, are they going through it or they've been through it or they're not too sure if they have a mental illness? At what point do they contact Kindred Clubhouse?
So it's open to people who've had experience with mental illness. If the conversation we're having about what we're proposing sounds attractive to them and they want to be involved, that's what will help make it happen.
And it is a group of volunteers, you said?
Initially it's volunteers. But as we move towards looking to get something that's funded and operating.
And they have to be qualified at some level?
The staff will be. The volunteers and the committee at the moment have a mix of people who've had quite a bit of experience working in mental health or have a connection with mental illness.
So what sort of activities then will you have at the clubhouse?
Clubhouse talks about having a work order day. It means that people work on projects, from putting a newsletter together if you've got lots of people there providing a meal, so working in a kitchen and feeling that you've got a contribution to make, and that's the shift. What we found made a big difference was in clubhouses they have a thing called transitional employment, and how that works is that the clubhouse goes out and negotiates with employers for entry-level work, which then they train and support people in that role. And the club, I guess, is a practice ground for that. It's places where you're putting together a resume and interview skills and how to present to an employer that everybody has skills and abilities. It just takes time to develop them.
Ebdale Community Hub in Frankston will host weekend meetings with people living with a mental illness to talk about the proposed clubhouse program. The first session is Saturday, 10th of September 2016, from 11am to 2pm. A free lunch will be provided. For more details, visit their website, kindredclubhouse.com. Kindred spelled K-I-N-D-R-E-D. Stay with us, because coming up next, we talk to the Ambassador for Kindred Clubhouse and Liberal Member for Dunkley, Chris Cruther. The Ambassador selected for Kindred Clubhouse is Beth Wilson, AM. Beth, who is the former President of the Mental Health Review Board, was the Health Service Commissioner and now works at the Mental Health Tribunal. She begins with...
So it's a complex area that I've always been interested in, and I got a call out of the blue from the good people at the Kindred Clubhouse to tell me what they were doing and to ask me if I would be interested in assisting. And I said, I think it's fantastic and I'd love to.
So why did you want to get involved?
People who suffer mental health are discriminated against and they find life really difficult at times. And one of the really big difficulties is getting employers to take people on. People can work when they've got a mental illness as long as they're getting the proper care that they need. But employers are sometimes understandably a bit nervous about it. So what the clubhouse model does is it trains people who experience mental illness up to be able to take on jobs, and it provides backup so that if they can't turn up on a particular day, one of the other members can turn up for them. So it gives employers that little bit of, you know, assurance. And if we can get people back into the workforce, then we've achieved a heap.
I don't understand why there's so many people now with a mental illness of some sort. Is that because maybe either they're able to come out now and talk about it, or have we named some other conditions that are now under the umbrella of mental health?
I think, Deborah, that you've probably hit the nail on both heads with that question, because I'm sure that those things have happened. Yes, we are more speaking about it more. People aren't hidden away in standalone asylums like we used to do before. We've now moved to a community-based model of care, and whilst it's had some shaky moments, it is improving and it's a lot better than it used to be. And most people with mental health issues live and go do well in the community. We've got really much better at providing services, you know, like medication and so on, but psychosocial needs also have to be taken into account. So many of us have someone in our family or a friend who suffered from these conditions, and they can be really puzzling and stressful. But if we understand and we've got support, it can make a huge difference.
What telltale signs present themselves for someone who might have a mental health issue?
Psychiatrists have tools where they look at clusters of symptoms and decide whether a person has, for example, a mood disorder, like bipolar affective disorder, or whether it's a disorder that affects your perception or thought, like schizophrenia. The range of mental illnesses is huge. They can be temporary, like postpartum depression, postnatal depression. They can be chronic, so that people are sick a lot, or they can be episodic. So people can be functioning and working really well, but then have a period where they're not well and they need some more treatment. So it's a vast range of things that unfortunately can affect our brains and cause our mental functioning to be disturbed.
What's the first step to take if we suspect something isn't right?
If you're concerned, if you're worried, go and have a chat first of all to your local GP and say, look, you know, I don't feel like going out or feeling really anxious. That's a really good starting point. There is help available. Try and avail yourself of it.
A final message from Beth.
I just want to say that I think the clubhouse model is really great community building. It's very inclusive. It's very successful in New South Wales and in particular Queensland. And I know that the consumers who go there and provide peer support for each other love it.
With more people coming on board to get the Kindred Clubhouse up and running in Frankston, we hope it will be fully functional within a couple of months. That website again, kindredclubhouse.com. Next, Chris Cruther on mental health. Deborah Maher took the opportunity to speak with newly elected member for Dunkley, Chris Cruther, at the official declaration held in Frankston yesterday. Mr. Cruther advises plans he has in place to deal with mental health issues in his electorate.
Did campaign very hard to ensure that we did invest in mental health and mental health services in the electorate. Some of the things that we achieved is some additional funding for South East Primary Health Network, which will flow through to Headspace, which is an important program locally here. But we also invested $5.6 million in ICE rehabilitation services, and that ICE is a big issue, not only in this community, but in communities across Australia, as well as drug use generally. So we've invested in rehabilitation services to get people back on their feet, whether it's programs like Stepping Up here in Plain Street in Frankston, or many other programs as well. We've also put together an ICE action plan, which will see greater investment in mental health, police services, and other services that are needed to tackle this important issue. So it's definitely an issue that I'll fight for, more funding for, and to ensure that we are actually tackling the issue locally here in the community.
So all the funds that you've put aside for that they'll be able to use it?
Yes. So it's the coalition has returned government, and obviously I've been declared having won the seat of Dunkley. So in that case, all of our funding that we've committed throughout the campaign is going ahead, and so I look forward to implementing that throughout the next 3 years.